There are so many that go to a building on a Sunday, whether it's a small ministry such as this, a medium-sized ministry, or mega. A large percentage of them do not take God and His Word seriously. A lot of people don't understand what worship means. They don't understand what praise means. This is serious, serious business. And I thank God for my wife and this ensemble. And I'm going to tell Satan he is a liar. Satan is a liar. You will not come here and try to destroy what the Holy Spirit is attempting to do through us. And I bind that spirit in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I'm going to say this. Now, when I came in here today, I heard them singing, "You Can't Make Me Doubt Him," in my heart. Now, I'm just wondering what's the... See, we sing a lot of things, but is it really here, or are we just performing? Now, I'm not talking about the ensemble here now. I'm not talking about them. When we sing, if you have a love for Jesus Christ, listen, this man from an orphanage up to now has come a long way, but I can't help but praise him. And my praises are real. It's just not a mechanical type of thing. You know, well, we come to church and we go through this. No. How many of you feel in your heart that are born again believers really believe and know that you're in your heart that you love Jesus? Let me see your hands. All right. Now, a lot of hands went up. If you really love him, because from Genesis to Revelation, I see one word, L-O-V-E. We might not understand everything in it, but that's all right. We understand that the blood that they were just talking about here, the blood of Jesus has taken care of everything. But that don't mean that we continue habitually in sin. All right? All right? So you let's give our ensemble a hand clap, please. You may be seated. Praise you, Jesus. I want to do something, Elder Kenny, when you get a chance. Okay, that's all right. Go ahead. I want Sister Ingham. Let's keep Sister Ingham up in prayer. She's got the allergies, and we just thank God that. See, what I admire about her is that no matter what, she'll do anything to try to promote the cause of Christ. An immortal soul is beyond all price. She's going through something right now, but she had the audacity to get down here on that organ and still try to praise God. Sister Ingham, would you come here a minute, please? Would you come here a minute, please? Elder Kenny, I want you to hold this for me. This is. I want everybody to remain standing. I'm going to take a few minutes for this. Now, this is not my main message. Last March, we were together for 46 years. And I remember when I was 13 years old, there was a man that came to my hometown, Delaware. His name was Reverend Steele. He just passed. He was about 85 years, 6 years old. I was 13 years old. And that man had such an impact on me. I always said I wanted to marry my wife. And so when we got ready to get married, Reverend Steele, he married. But something I never forgot, and this is what's missing in families. This is why so many children are being born. And, you know, we're bringing children into the world, and they're weak, but we're bringing up thorns because we're not doing it God's way. My heart, being and working in the school system for so many years, and even today, what I'm seeing, going on in families today because of children and lack of discipline. Now, I'm only going this way for this. I'm going to take me about 5 or 10 minutes to do this. But something I remember in my marriage, and in my marriage vow. This thing, I want you to listen to this, okay? Now, I got this book. This is from Sister Ingram, Sister Davis's church, your God of Christ manual, okay? So I thought I would go in there and go to do it that way, and I wouldn't be wrong, all right? All right, now listen to what it says. I'm going to put my name here. I remember Reverend Steele said, repeating this. Joe, do you take this woman to be your wedded wife? It's saying anything about you take this man to be your... Oh, let me leave that alone. Okay.
after you, believe me, honey, it's coming down the road. Maybe not there, but it's coming. But believe me, because you know what? There's so much mess out here that the devil and the churches, I don't blame Washington, D.C., even though Washington, D.C. is confused and messed up, I blame the churches for not preaching the full gospel of Jesus Christ. And you just got through saying the blood of Jesus, that's the full gospel right there. His death, burial, and resurrection, that's the gospel right there. And we've gotten away from it. We've gotten away from it, okay? All right. And for those of you who don't know me, I know my voice is hard and heavy. I'm a mean man, so I'm just going to leave it like that, okay? My God. All right. All right, okay. All right, I heard Tanisha say, I believe that's right. Okay, let me go. Okay. No, but seriously, I want to get back to this. Do you take, Joe Ingram, do you take this woman to be your wedded wife? And do you earnestly promise before God and these witnesses that you will love her? Now, my wife and I, we didn't have a lot of witnesses. We had her friends up in Newark. Her family would come up from New. We didn't have a big wedding. Okay? It was my mother's father. Okay? And that you will love her, comfort her, honor her, and keep her in sickness and in health, and that forsaking all others alone for her alone, you will perform unto her all the respect that a husband owes to his wife until God by death shall separate you. Now, I read this for a reason. God took a nobody, and used her, her family, and Billy Graham and some others, through Christ Jesus, and has made something out of this man. All sin is wrong. Some sin are more corruptible than others, but all sin is wrong. Okay? Now, I'm going to be talking about how pride is the foundation of sin. That's what I'm going to be talking about today. But I want to let you, and when I heard Reverend Steele say that, I said, and I remember before I came back to the Lord at age 34, I remember we had some differences. And a couple of times, she should have left me 50 times. And I remember a couple of times. She went to the bank and was going to try to borrow money, but she couldn't get away from me. See, you know what happened? Because of the family I was adopted into, and because of demons that was in that family, sex sin, fighting, drinking, drugs, some of those demons transferred into me, even though I was adopted. Don't think demons are real, people. And they transferred into me, and I carried that garbage over into my marriage. But thank God for the foundation that her mother and father gave her. She had a foundation that she was able to stand. And I heard her say, she told me after I got myself together, she said, a million nights, when you was out there in those bars, a million nights I anointed your pillow. I wonder why I used to feel so bad when I lay on those pillows. Now what am I trying to say? And I remember, when these words, thick and thin, I'm not even going to say what she has to, because she's been a good wife. Okay? And I haven't been the worst. Listen, I always say this. I haven't been the best husband or father or whatever. But I have been the worst. See? Okay? However, God has used his son Jesus and his word to get me straight. And I'm on my way to heaven, not hell. And there is a real hell. But the man don't want you to know that. So the devil don't want you to know that there's not. Oh, and I used to think heaven and hell was right here on this earth. Let me endure myself. Let me endure myself. But there is a heaven, and there is a hell. And you better be careful. Which way are you going? If you're in habitual sin and you don't repent of it, you're hell bound.
I had to go that way. It was our anniversary. We've gone through some storms like never before. We've had our differences. And I remember telling her when I thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping me to go this way. And those of you who don't know, sometimes I'm very unorthodox, but I thank God his word gets through, hopefully. I remember telling Sister Ingram years ago, and then she used to work at RSA, and she came on a Friday, and she didn't argue a whole lot. I had a big argument, me and my big mouth, see, trying to be like my adopted family, but I later learned he and his sneaky self, he's my real father, okay? So the point I'm trying to make is, I remember saying to her, Negro, you ain't going nowhere, and I ain't going nowhere. I remember that. You know why I felt that way, even though I didn't know Jesus then? You know why I felt that way? I remember those vows. I remember those vows. They've always stuck with me. I remember when I first met Imogene, and we were courting one another. She had some hernias because she used to have to walk up on the third floor up in Newark carrying groceries. And I promised her that you would never have, if we get married, you would never have to carry another grocery bag. And you know what? That, if I haven't done anything else right, I did that right. And it wasn't about money either. It wasn't about money. I didn't want it. See, I've always believed this. If you're married to a woman, you are responsible to look out for that woman in the name of Jesus. Of course, I didn't know Jesus. So in the name of Satan, I was trying to do something. I was always a good provider. I believed in the work ethic. I didn't believe on depending on the government for everything. I believed on the way. Now, I'm not against it. They say today, about almost 50% of the population of 300 million people are relying on the government. And they said only 20% out of that 50%, only 20% really need it. The elderly and those who are sick and those who can't. But what about the others? But all I can say is, I do thank God for my wife and her mother and father and the foundation that she laid, that they laid. And when I met her mother and father, that was the first time in all my life. And I was raised up in a little country church. Oh, they could sing you into heaven. Ooh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Of course, you didn't hear much of that in the AME church, but they could sing and sing and sing. But what I saw during the week, that's why I tell adults, be careful what you do around children. Be careful what you do around your children. Now I'm going to get to the word. Let me see. We got another. It's about almost quarter after 12. So maybe 3 o'clock. I should be done by 3. All right. Take your Bibles and turn. You know what? I'm going to do it this way. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm going to talk about pride. Kenny, you might have to reach, not now, but you might have to reach me in my Bible. Pride. When Adam and Eve fell years ago, 6,000 years ago, around that time, give or take. When they fell, sin crept into the world. And the foundation for all sin is pride. Pride. What is pride? Pride is the cultivation, preservation, or exalting of oneself. Pride is a protecting of self. And before I go any further, before I came down with cancer in 98, I didn't even know it. But I had so much pride inside of me, and I didn't even know it. And after I had researched this thing, I said, Lord, I thank you. God used my illness, as I heard one man say, as a preacher. As a disciple to help me to get where I am today. So don't grumble because you're going through some things right now, whether you're young or old. Don't get all upset and mad. Where is God? He's there. He's trying to teach you something. He's right there. He's right there. And you're going through something right now. You feel like giving up. And sometimes you wonder why. God, I've been praying and praying. God hasn't answered my prayer. Don't seem like God ain't no fool. His answer is yes sometime, his answer is no sometime, and his answer is wait. And why he's saying, oh, I want you to wait, and while you're waiting, I want to do something in your life, and whatever pain, whatever it takes to get you where I want you to be, not where a man wants you to be, but where I want you to be, God said, I'll get you there. You can fight it. You can fight your sinful ways, your worldly ways, all you want to, but God will get you where he wants you to be. And especially, I often think about this, how the seed, because of my adopted mother, the seed of Jesus was placed in me. And with all that I went through as a teenager and a young adult, and after I got married and all those things, God allowed it to happen. Why? But he says, I see that boy's heart, but I'm going to get him. He's loaded with pride. He said, I'm going to get him. And you better believe, as I stand here right now, he's got a hold of me. And some of you, it took me around the age of 60 when I really started getting a hold of this thing. Even though I'd been in the pulpit for 25, 30 years, okay? It took me some years. Part of it was because of, well, no, not part of it. Most of it was because of pride. You know what I put on now? Thank you, Lord. I have put on humility. I've learned to take the hurt, to take the pain, to take the embarrassment, to take whatever. Why? Because souls are invited. That's why that banner, an immortal soul, is beyond all price. There's no trouble too great for this man. No humiliation too deep for this man. No suffering too severe for this man. No love too strong. No labor too hard, Sister Ingram. No labor too hard. No labor too hard. No expense. We've had to remortgage our home and everything, but no expense too large. But that it is worth it if it's spent in the effort to win a soul. And this is where a lot of times, a lot of churches, are not all, thank God for the remnant, they're forgetting about those out there. People are hurting out there. And when is the last time? You know, let me go on with this. Praise God, because some areas I want to hit on. There we go. Okay. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Listen, pride is commitment to self. It is building up ourselves in our own eyes or in the eyes of others. Pride is an excessive belief in one's superiority, worth, and merit. Pride is the root and the foundation of all sin, most sin. Now, give you some scriptures here. What does the word of God say about pride? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Proverbs 8 and 13. You can write these down. Or if you get the CD. The fear of the Lord is hate. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverted mouth, God said, I hate. God says that. I'm going to read that again. And I'm not going to be able to finish this today, but that's all right. Take heed to what the Holy Spirit is saying through this wretched man. And thank God, as we just said. I'm going through consequences right now for the bad decisions I made years ago. But God's grace is taking me through. Isn't his grace wonderful? Oh, my God. And you know what? In the midst of it, I have so much peace. Why? Because of word. And you know what? I meet a lot of young people, or teenagers, lately in the past year. And I'm working on some things, me and the Lord, something brewing in the future, in their 20s. I don't believe in the Bible. I don't believe in all that. I don't believe in the Bible. Even had some blacks tell me, Bible's a white man's book, and all these types of things. That's a lie. See, the devil, he likes to cause confusion. That's what he likes to do. And there's in that chapter 10, read St. John chapter 10 when you get home. Because in there it says, God is his sheep, and his sheep hear his voice. It's too many people listening to the devil's voice, and they don't even have a relationship with Jesus, so they hear the devil's voice. Even people professing to have been born again, they have a tendency of walking away from Jesus. They have a tendency of walking away. And if they continue in that direction, they will lose their salvation. If they continue in that direction. Let me go on with this. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Proverbs 11 and 2 says, I said I was going to read Proverbs 8 and 13, but that's all right. I'll read it again. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance, and the evil way, and the perverted mouth I hate. God said that. And I'm not talking about the God of the Quran either. I'm talking about the God of the Bible. The God of the Quran is not the same God that's in the Bible. The same Jesus they talk about is not the same Jesus that's in the Bible. Oh, boy. All right, Proverbs 11, 2. When pride comes, then comes dishonor, but with the humble is wisdom. Hear that? When pride comes, then comes dishonor, but with the humble is wisdom. Proverbs 11, 12. I remember when I was courting Sister Ingram years ago, and I went to her church up in with her. The times I would go up there in Newark, and I used to get so mad with her and that preacher. That preacher would be preaching. He would be preaching. And one time, I don't know, a couple of times, I got in the car. What the heck are you doing telling him about me? She hadn't said anything. But you know what? What he was preaching was convicting me. And because of pride, it made me mad. Pride. Woo, pride is something, people. You know what? Pride is the greatest sin. Humility is the greatest virtue. Oh, let me go ahead and continue. Good Lord, mercy. Thank you for sticking with me, lady. Oh, my God. All right. Proverbs 16 and 5. Everyone who is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Everyone who is proud is an abomination to the Lord. Proverbs 16, 5. Now, Proverbs 16, 18, and 19. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit, before stumbling. It is better to be a humble spirit than to divide the spoil with the proud. Lord, have mercy. I got to read that one again, too. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling. It is better to be a humble spirit than to divide the spoil with the proud. Proverbs 16, 18, and 19. Now, Proverbs 29, 23. A man's pride will bring him low, but a humble spirit will obtain honor. Let me read that one again, too. A man's pride will bring him low, but a humble spirit will obtain honor. And when I see that, a man's pride will bring him low. Believe me, because of bad decisions I made years ago, did they bring me down. But while I was down there in the valley, God talked to me, people. And some of you, when you go, you might be going through a valley right now, God's trying to tell you something. All right? Now, this one here, 1 Peter, this is not a pride. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 6. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 6. The younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders. And all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. Toward one another. My adopted grandson over there, I call him my adopted grandson. He's got to be humble toward me. I have to be humble toward him. Okay? Sometime I'll give him the good advice, okay? All right? For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Uh-oh. God is opposed to the proud. Look at me. I'm a bishop. I'm an overseer. That title doesn't mean anything if Jesus is not being glorified. I'm so sick and tired of man today in many churches and all they can see and trying to lift themselves up because of their titles. It doesn't mean anything if Jesus is not in the center of it. Lord have mercy. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he will exalt you at the proper time. Wait a minute. Those of you who look to be exalted, he says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. Man's trying to exalt himself. And I see so much self-exaltations from the pulpits to the pews. Self-exaltations. Now, thank you, Holy Spirit. How does pride manifest itself in your life? Here's some ways. Now, listen to this. And every person that's walked through that door, I want you to search yourself. All right? I'm going to give you some common ways pride often shows itself in our life. First of all, a desire to be admired or noticed by others for something, my achievement, looks, personality, serving spiritual life. Achievement, looks, personality, serving spiritual. Oh, I'm serving. I'm doing this. I want to be seen. Oh, Lord, help us to help ourselves. Next thing, desire to be recognized or appreciated. See, this is that human nature. A lot of times, get into the sin nature. Boasting. We take credit for abilities given to me by God. Oh, where I've come from. Look what I have done. That's why Satan was kicked out of heaven. 5 times he said, I will be exalted above God. He's talking about the God, one who created him. Lucifer was one of the greatest, best decorated in God that was ever of all the angels. He was great. He was a musician. That's why the music sounds so good. And that's okay if the Holy Spirit's in it. Oh, my God. But pride got in the way. If you want to find out more about that, you read Isaiah. It's either Isaiah 28 or Ezekiel 28, one or the other. Isaiah 28. Okay, let me go on. And I bind the spirit of boredom, because this will help somebody before you walk out that door today. And a lot of things that God gives me, God has allowed me to go through it. And so I can tell you how Jesus Christ of Nazareth, how he has helped me and delivered me from a lot of things. Now, listen to this. Now, I'm talking about some common ways pride often shows itself in our lives. Desire to achieve status. Next thing, selfishness, focusing on myself. The average person that goes to a building on Sundays, all they can see is me, myself, and I. It's never how can I help to encourage and build up God's kingdom in that local church. They'll go to a building and they get emotional, tears. Then they walk out. Next Sunday they'll go to a church over here. And I'm not talking about people that's looking for a church now. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people, that's their life. They go over here to this church. Then they go to this church. Then they go to this one. They stay there for a while. Then they have a cycle. And like I said, I'm not talking about people who's looking for a church home. I'm not talking about that. But they don't want to be held accountable for anything. That's the problem. See? And if I had felt that way years ago, because many times I felt like giving up, especially after we bought this property. I felt like giving up and saying, heck with it, especially when you're dealing with people. But you know what? Every hurt, every pain that this man and this woman here have gone through, it's all been a blessing in disguise. It's made me stronger. And I'm not talking about these muscles either, because they're a little shaggy right now. But I'm talking about using God's arsenal. The fruits of the Spirit, peace, love, and joy. Most Christians are poor distributors of peace, love, and joy. Long-suffering. Tolerate it. Put up with it in the name of Jesus. So they hurt you. So you don't have a dad. So you don't have a mom. So what? Sure, you're hurt.
I know what it's like. This man knows what it's like that not have a family as far as a mother, etc. But God, as my wife often said, but God, he saw something in me. That's why when they threw me in that orphanage years ago, God said, look, I want you to go down there. That boy is for all of us, what I'm saying, but I'm just using myself as an example. I always like to do this. And he knew that this little big-headed, precious little boy was going to need some help. So he sent his son Jesus to die on that cross. And then after Jesus ascended back up into heaven, and some people were looking, and Jesus said, what are you looking up? The same way I'm going up, the same way I'm coming back. But a lot of people don't even believe that anymore. You'll be amazed that mainstream denominations that are trying to come up with other ways other than the Bible. That's why Washington, D.C. is so messed up and corrupted. A lot of people don't like to hear me say that. It didn't just start with Obama. It started way before then. In 1960s, when they started murdering babies. When they took the Bibles and things out of schools. No respect. I was in the barbershop the other day, and a little boy in there, and his uncle had him, and he was in the chair. No, I don't want to get my, he's cussing. I don't want my, blah, blah, blah. And I'm sitting there. I almost want to go over it. And the uncle, come on now, Jay. Then he takes me in the back, and he come out, and the boy does the same thing. Boy, if he'd been mine. Oh, let me go on. Y'all might think I'm a mean person. I believe in raising up children the way the Bible says raise them up. God said, spare the rod, you spoil the child. And I can give you some other scriptures. But today, stop. All right, now, I'm going to count to five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Go all the way up to 1,000. That's what the state has to do. But not God didn't say do it that way. Because you can't hit, and we have a daycare. We don't believe in hitting no child and all that kind of stuff. No. But I know when I was in the school, I got to tell you this for the sake of the few young people that are here. There was a young man, and I never will forget this. And we used to have to give tests at the beginning of the year. Everything's test. They don't teach math and reading like they used to. Everything's teaching according to test. But let me go on. And this, he was a foster kid. His mother was a drunk, and she was a prostitute. The father, he was a drunk. Both got killed in the streets of Newark. He was placed in an orphanage. He was a troubled child. See what happens with selfish parents comes into a child's life. And he went into two or three different foster homes. And when he came to my class the second week, and he failed the test. I like to tell this story. There are others, but I like to tell this story. He failed that test in September. In 2 weeks, well, you weren't allowed to touch kids, but see, he did something in the class. I grabbed him. Come on. I took him right out in the hall. He's about 14 years old. I put him up against the wall. I said, that's not going to happen in my class. I also gave him my testimony briefly, and tears started coming out of his eyes. I said, now, you're going to be something, boy. Now, give me a hug. And he hugged me. But guess what? In June, he was one of the highest ones as far as scoring on that test. Wasn't about me. So many teachers, see, I'm telling you, we have to be careful how we start judging people. See, because so many teachers used to say to me, you know, you don't want him in the class. He ain't no good. She ain't no good. And then they look in the file. Yeah, he's a bad, 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 bad. I never did that. Whatever you see on the surface, I don't judge what I see on the surface. It's a reason behind it. It's a reason behind it. And that's what I thank God to what I'm about to say, to God be the glory. That's why I was a successful teacher. It wasn't I was somebody brainy. It was because I had a love for kids, and God showed me, I didn't know it at the time, showed me how to deal with them. And it was all because of what I went through. What am I saying? I'm saying to each one of you today, I want you to reevaluate yourself. I want young and old, I want you to really stop when you get home today. Sit down when you go to bed tonight. Before you go to bed, sit in your chair, lie on the floor, lie on the bed, whatever. And I want you to say, Lord, how can I get close to you? That old ugly man was saying some things that Lord, help me, Lord. If we only knew how to just talk to Jesus, he loves us so much, people. He loves us so much. And we try to fix it ourselves. It's impossible. And I understand sometimes, you know, you wish you could have somebody you could go to and talk to. You talk to Jesus. And God will put somebody in your life that will help you like he did me years ago. One of them was my high school principal. And I won't go in detail with some other people. And my wife and I did the eulogy last year, my high school principal. I was surprised they even asked me. God is awesome, people. Let me go on. I got a little more here. I'm telling you, the common ways pride often shows itself in our lives. Selfish ambition, doing things or achieving something to look good rather than to glorify God. Self-advancement. Vanity. Over-concern with appearance and beauty, looks and clothes. I want to say that one again, because the way I see things now, and I was looking at a man yesterday, and he was all decorated with tattoos, and now I realize clothes and tattoos would not get you into heaven. But after you've been in with Jesus for years, and you say you're a Christian, now let me tell you something. Everybody that says they're a Christian is not a Christian. Everybody said that they're born again. They're not born again. Because if you're born again, you're not going to do worldly things. Now, if you've been in a church 3 to 5 years, okay. But if you know better and you're still doing worldly things, I'm going to show you. I'm going to close out with a scripture in a few minutes. Okay, praise you, Jesus. Now, I can't put anybody in heaven or hell. That's not what I'm trying. I can't put anybody in heaven or hell. And I hate self-righteous, judgmental, critical, holier-than-thou spirits. I hate those spirits. There's a lot of them out here in buildings on Sunday mornings. I don't like them because I know how people try to treat me. You shouldn't do this. I already knew what I shouldn't do, especially if I had the seed put in me as a boy. Okay, couple more. Attempting to look good or appear to be better than we really are. Next one, seeking the approval of people rather than God. Seeking approval of people rather than God. Concerned about what others think. What others think. God help us. Comparing myself with others. That's a problem most people have in churches. Comparing themselves. Well, there are people comparing restoration with other churches when they should be concentrating on this one. Listen, this is pride. Comparing myself with others. My wife has seen that for the 25 years. Then it says here, preaching and exhorting others while being blind to my need to repent and change. Not recognizing my own spiritual need. That's where I was prior to 2006. Thought I had it together, but prior to 2006, I thought it was up, but I didn't even realize so much pride. God started revealing it to me in 98, but as it went on and on, I realized how I was loaded down with pride. Thank you, Holy Spirit. People, don't let pride destroy you. And here's one, and I'm going to stop right here, and I'll give the others later. Not being teachable. Thinking I know it all and don't need to learn. I thank God. Some of you have heard me say this before. Deacon Harrington, in my former church, he's going to be with the Lord. And he told me, he said, I don't care how old you get. Don't you ever think you have arrived. You will always need the word of God. You will always need to encourage yourself. Why? I realize it now. I look at it as the human nature often gives into the sin nature. But Romans chapter 6 tells us we don't have to be enslaved by it. I want everybody to turn to James. James chapter 4. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We sang a song, in my life be glorified, in my church be glorified. I want Christ, and I'm not the only leader, the man that feels this way. I want Christ to be glorified in this church, not my wife and I. As I often say, love and respect that office, but I want Jesus to be glorified. All right, turn to chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 1 through 10, and I'm going to close on that when I could go into Philippians. You can read Philippians chapter 2 when you get home, but this one here, this talks about pride promotes strife. I'm reading from the Spirit-filled Bible, King James, with the after these and the thus. All right, all who have it say amen. All right, that's James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Where do wars, James chapter 4, and I'm going to start with verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Now, this is James talking to God's people. Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? Now, remember that I'm telling you, pride promotes strife. 2, you lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss. In other words, not in God's will. What you're asking is in God's will. That you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers, adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity to God? Let me read that again. Do you not know? Wait, is this the Bible I'm reading? Wait, no. I want to make sure this is the Bible. Yeah. Do you not know? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity to God, with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Now, maybe I got the wrong Bible. You have King James. Would you just read yours? Just what did yours say on that one? Oh, yeah, the same Bible. Oh. So in other words, get what it says here now. You know what? The Bible is sharper than a two-edged sword. The Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. It cuts. Sometimes when I'm studying, it cuts me. You know, I thank and praise God, but I've learned how to get out of it. I just start, Lord, forgive me. Lord, even sometimes, do you ever think wrong? You ever think like, I could knock their brains out. No, maybe you don't think that way. Maybe you don't think that way. Oh, I saw a hand go up in the back. Oh, good Lord of mercy. Honey, I put two up. But you know what? Thank God for Jesus, people. He keeps us where he keeps us under control. See? Thank you. Verse 5. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously. 6, but he gives more grace, therefore he says, God says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I'm going to say, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Four more verses. Look at verse 7. Therefore, this is what we have to do now. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I wonder how many of you are submitting to God. Or you're on the telephone gossiping or slandering and trying to tear down somebody else's character. Look at the verse 8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Thank you, Jesus. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. 9. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into moaning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Humility is the key, people. Everybody stand. Humility is the key. Don't you ever doubt God. If you don't get anything out of this man this morning, this afternoon, you stay humble before God. This is the key. And you can do it. I know some young adults in their 20s that are young. Let me just say this. Thank you, Holy Spirit. My wife and I, we've watched this. Do you know, and there's nothing you and me can do about it, only God. The only thing we can do is pray. Do you know the public schools are becoming more and more corrupted? And they are, rather than teaching, listen, the same A and B that was of my day is not the same A and B today. And they are deliberately giving children good grades to make things look good. And they're teaching according to the test. They're not really teaching the academics as they should. I know. And if you can, and you got to be careful, even if you put your child in a private school, you got to learn and know something about that school. And you can look it up on your own. It's a thing that has come into the school system called sustainability. And what that is doing, that is introducing your children from kindergarten right on up, and it's subtle how they're doing it. See, when you don't research, and they're teaching your children what communism is. They're slowly bringing in communism and its cousin, socialism, in the public schools. And the academic, you know, America used to be top of the list academically. We're in the middle down, going toward the bottom. And we got all this technology. God has blessed us. God has blessed us, people. And what do? And I'm not talking about people in the world because they don't know any people. I'm not saying everybody now. There's a remnant in here who truly loves the Lord. There's a remnant in CCU that truly loves the Lord. There's a remnant in the church of the Methodist, United Methodists up there that truly love Jesus. But what about those out there in that wide gate? It's time for us. Let me say this. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And I'm not saying this to frighten anybody. I really personally feel that a catastrophe is coming in America. We think 9/11 was bad. That was just a warning to America. I heard a man preaching yesterday at the praying yesterday at the breakfast, was praying for America and praying for Israel. Please, please, those of you who know what prayer is, take time to intercede for your local government. Take time to pray and intercede for your state government. Pray for Obama. Pray for that man that he will make the right decisions. Pray for him. Pray for the Congress. Pray for the Congress. A lot of things that's going on, people, is very, very dangerous. And if you can afford to put your child into a, if you can, make every effort to try to do it. In a private school, good Christian school. And you better be careful then, because there's even deception that's creeping into churches like never before. My heart went out to Rick Warren and his wife who lost their son to depression and he committed suicide, I believe. And my heart went out. I thought about my son and my daughter, my two sons and my daughter, okay? All right, but at the same time, Rick Warren has gotten away from the Bible. A lot of people don't know that. But let's keep him up in prayer. And I thank God, restoration, that we're not in error. Sister Ingham and I, we study. Sometimes we discuss things. Sometimes we might disagree. But that's all right. It's okay to disagree, people. But we don't have to fight each other over disagreements. As I said at the beginning, L-O-V-E. L-O-V-E. Not the world's love. And I'm going to say one more thing and then I'm going to sit down. Pride, please, do not allow pride. And you pray for the, and not only in the black community, I'm going to emphasize black community, the white community, Spanish, pride in the black community, please. And it's destroying the black community. Don't let it happen, people. You might say, well, nothing we can do. Yes, you can. You can pray. You can pray. Pray for these children. Children without fathers. I call them deadbeat dads. Children without mothers. Pray for them. I just found out. Why am I telling you this? Because it all, the foundation of all sin is pride. The love of money is the root of all evil. I just found out. Here in America, and it's definitely overseas, girls from 3 years old all the way up to late teens being used as sexual slaves. When I heard about that three or four-year-old little girl being used sexually, I felt like throwing the TV. See how the devil's working? And we have audacity in the body of Christ be fighting each other. Denominationalism is causing people just to fight. I'm better than you. I'm a Baptist. I'm a Methodist. I'm a this. I'm a Catholic. That God's not pleased with all that. Now, if you're part of something like that, that's okay. But let Jesus be the center of it. All this fighting. And the world sees it. It's like a blasphemy against God, us fighting each other. Let's love each other, people. Let's get along with each other. Let's encourage each other to get closer to Jesus. Encourage each other. Sister Tall, I heard you spoke yesterday at the nursing home and did a fantastic job. And I just want to say this. I see some young people and young adults in here. We go to the nursing home once a month. If you can get a church chance to go with us to the nursing home, let Sister Tall, Sister Rose, or my wife know about it. So many old people need that encouragement. Don't think, you know, you all looking good, but you're going to get old soon. Oh, it's all going to shift away. And you better be careful. You think you look in the mirror, and you look in the mirror, I'm cool. That coolness or whatever you want to call it is going to go eventually. Give whatever you have to Jesus so you can be a blessing somewhere. So much help is needed. Father, thank you, Lord. Howdy, God. Thank you, Father. Forgive me, Father. If any type of pride that I've talked about is attempting to control my life, forgive me, Father. And I'm not being pious when I say that. Father, I want to put on more humility. Even when darts are thrown at me. And Father, these precious souls out here, I hope, pray that young and old, that they will learn to put on more humility and take the pain, take the embarrassment, take the hurt. Yes, Lord. Meekness does not mean weakness. Father, I thank you. And Father God, I thank you, Lord, for this teaching on pride. help us all, Holy Spirit, to put on more humility. And Father, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Father, thank you for sending men and women into this ministry, young or old, to be able to be teachable, not gullible, but teachable. So we can go, continue going to the prisons, continue going to the hospitals, continue going to the shelters. Thank you for the things that you're putting in my spirit, dear God, that will be implemented in the future. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And Father, I lift up every foster child, every adopted child, even the biological ones. They're all biological, just sometimes selfish parents abandons them. Thank you, Lord. And Father, I want every young person that's here tonight, maybe they might not have a father in their life, they might not have a mother, but Lord, I know I could tell story after story of young people, teenagers, young adults that made up their mind and surrendered to you and are very prosperous now. Some of them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Is there someone...